Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend in Myrtle Beach at the Beach Boogie and Barbecue, put on by the Shriners. It's a wonderful thing for the Shriners to put on because it raises money for the Shriners hospitals. They accept kids into the hospitals and everything. They have some screening stuff. Like I think 8 or 9 kids got accepted, which was great. But that's about all I could say about the good thing about that contest right there. I think next year a lot of us are just going to send them a donation check and just not show up. Here at Barbecue Superstars, we really strive to promote barbecue, barbecue contests, barbecue teams, barbecue restaurants, anything, barbecue newspapers, anything that has anything to do with barbecue. We are dead set 110% of promoting barbecue, never demoting until this past weekend. Now I'm going to have a lot of callers calling in. If y'all just hold off a little bit, we're going to do a little recap. I'd like to hear from other people's contests they did over the weekend. I know they had a wonderful one up in Maryland this past weekend. I'm hoping Mike Richter or Mark Breen or somebody to call in and tell us a little bit about that. Even Rob Mann went up there. We'll tell you a little story about that. Also, we're going to go through a list of, of what not to do as far as putting on a barbecue contest. So, like I said, we'll take a lot of callers here in a few minutes. I know it's going to be blowing up my thing. Somebody's calling in already. But I'm going to go over a list of a few things that went wrong this weekend with this contest. And it's just not me. I'll be honest with you. I did very well this past weekend. We finished first in ribs and seventh in pork in the Southern Barbecue Network contest that they had. It was a double header contest. We ended up taking reserve grand champion in that. And then the KCBS contest soon followed. And we ended up taking a second in chicken, a 27th in ribs, a 10th in pork, and a first in brisket. That's two first places in a row for us. And we finished as reserve grand champion. And we had Pit Bulls Up and Smoke taking the grand champion, and BBQ taking third overall. We had a lot of good teams down there with Pickin' Porkers, Midnight Burn, the Smokehouse Mafia, Lang Smokers, you name them, they were down there for the most part. We had a good show, and we ended up with 37 KCBS teams and 20-something SBN teams. It was about 22 SBN teams. So we had a good showing of teams down there. Just a few little issues that they had down there was, number one, there was really and truthfully zero communication between the organizers, the reps, and the teams. Yeah, we had a little meeting Friday night, but after that, it was they had a big turnover in the Shriners, so they had a lot of new people running some things. They didn't quite get all their T's crossed and their I's dotted, so to speak. Just a few issues. They told some judges not to come. They didn't need some of the judges as of that Monday before the event. They didn't figure they'd have anybody else calling in, which is unheard of now. You know, a lot of teams call in the week of to see if they can get in. Well, the coach found out they were short on judges. They kept taking teams up until Thursday, and they ran out of judges. A lot of table captains had to judge, and I don't even know if they still had enough judges to do this. They might have, they might not have, but anyway, they ran out of judges. So a lot of table captains had to judge and table captains. The reps didn't have enough help. A lot of the boxes were sitting on the tables way too long at turn-ins. I know several people said that when the ribs came out, there was nobody to accept them at 12:26. They didn't come out of the tent until like 12:27 or something. So they were late on those for the turn-ins. The boxes stacked up on the tables. A lot of times teams were afraid, they had to sit there and hold them because they were afraid that the boxes would get knocked off or something. I mean, they were really, really, really backed up. Wasn't even close to, you know, five or six boxes. I'm talking 15, 18 boxes sitting on the table for who knows how long until they got them sorted out. Just a miscalculation on their part. We had a lot of power issues out there. A lot of 20-amp breakers were giving us maybe 13-amps, so a lot of teams couldn't run ACs. It was just really, really bad on a lot of the bigger teams with their motorhomes and stuff like that. A lot of them had to go to their backup generators. It's just sad to see that many people come in with these nice campers and stuff to put on the show. And, you know, the two things that teams need, we don't ask for a whole lot, but two things that things need, we have to have power and we have to have water. Well, the water issue, they had one hose that went to about 25 teams, so we had no water pressure. Of course, the site was a quagmire, but that didn't have anything to do with the event staff. They had 5 inches of rain in Myrtle Beach on Wednesday, so you can imagine what everything smelled like. I mean, we had four drives, pulled campers out, and all this other stuff. That's how the barbecue community work. You know, we all work together. So a few other problems that they had as far as two teams that came in towards the end, they ended up with the same number on their turn-in boxes. Now, that's a a big no-no in our book. So at 12:20, I think it's 12:23 or 12:24, of course, turning to 12, they go up to one of the teams and ask them which chicken box is theirs. They had two chicken boxes that have not been judged yet. And he tells them which one it is. So not only did those two not get judged, but did the other four at that table get judged? We don't know. That was 23 minutes after turn-ins. So, and it was just right before the rib turn-in. So it kind of threw them off. But so anyway, after that, let's see, on my end, I went to go turn in my brisket, and they had told me that I had not turned in a pork box, which, in fact, I had three witnesses that said we did, and we knew we turned it in. And I about blew a head gasket, so instead of me making a scene at the brisket turn-in, I went back to the trailer to calm down. I was there about 1 minute. I couldn't calm down. I had to walk back, see if they could find my pork box. My box was judged on time. It was the wrong number was put on the top of the box when they take them back to the judging. Mickey, I believe, went back there and found the pork box and told me everything would be all right. Tana Schultz came back and told me that, you know, it was her fault. She put the wrong number on it. It was a number from an Anything Buck contest from the night before. So how that mix-up got happened, I have no idea. But I'm going to tell you what, the two reps were so overwhelmed it wasn't even funny. The Shriners were out there trying to help, but they all wanted to play Chief and nobody wanted to play Indian, so they were telling us three or four different things that was going to happen, and nobody took responsibility for what they told us. So that goes back to the miscommunication part. They needed to have one Chief that made all the decisions, but instead they had 16 of them telling you 15 different things you could do and can't do. So we'll go on that in a little bit. The next thing is for the sauce contest. They were giving out cups. Well, they gave out like four or five different style of cups because they didn't have cups for the sauce contest. Now, if you're going to pay out for the sauce contest, you need to, everybody needs to have the same sauce cup and everything. We had to use literally Dixie cups or Styrofoam cups with aluminum foil on the top. That was the sauce turn-in. So a little glitch there. We had, I know we had several other teams that had issues with turn-ins. Like I said, they didn't have enough judges. There's too many teams. Didn't have enough space for the teams. Definitely didn't have enough power for the team. We had, you know, when we go do these cook-offs, you know, we don't expect really anything to do these cook-offs. You know, we just like water and power. But a lot of the areas, well, most areas, just about every area I've been to, give you a little goodie bag to show your appreciation for spending, you know, $1,100 come down to their contest to promote their contest, to get the crowds out there so they can make some money for the charities. But, you know, we're not really looking for it, but it's nice to a nice gesture to have, you know, something for a little cooker's bag. Not a big deal. You know, a lot of it, you know, we don't use anyway, but it shows depreciation. It makes cooks feel wanted. There was no breakfast. There's no dinners for the cooks. No nothing. They just stuck us out there and left us there, which, you know, most of us like that anyway, but, you know, nothing for the cookers. It's like when the cookers got there, you were on your own for the most part. They did not accommodate the cookers one iota. So from there on, with going back to the non-communication part, we had a team next to us that was vending. Vended there last year, sold barbecue, sold brisket, sold chicken wings. They come over right at the prime time and tell them you can't serve barbecue or brisket. And it being a Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce event on Sunday, the Shriners were selling barbecue and told him he couldn't sell it. Well, the head guy told him they were doing the same as last year, and he did it last year. Well, this guy told him he couldn't do it. He could only do chicken wings and other stuff. So, you know, some of these teams, that's how they make their money, to either pay for that event or pay for future events, is to vend. And it was not written down anywhere. It was all hearsay of what you could, couldn't do. Nobody would put their foot down until they saw this team serving barbecue. Several other teams served barbecue, but they were out of barbecue by the time the Shriners came by. So needless to say, they ended up bringing the Myrtle Beach's finest over there on the golf cart, and they were asked to leave the event and never to come back again, which was agreed upon among both parties. It was run very, very wrongly. they said a few snide remarks as we left. I'm going to leave that up to whoever calls in about what they said. They had a chicken wing contest on Sunday, which we participated in, which they had no turn-in boxes for the chicken wing contest. They had no certain quantities you had to turn in for the chicken boxes. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know who won the chicken wing contest. I have no idea. So, on top of all that, as we were leaving Sunday, which we were told we could leave our trailer there till Sunday, we could have a 20-amp plug there all the time to plug in our trailer to keep the refrigerator going. That's all we need to do because we were staying at a hotel room. So we plugged it in, and we left Sunday evening. We get back over there. Well, we noticed they were picking up the hoses and stuff when we were leaving. So when we got back over there at 11 o'clock this morning, our trailer was unplugged right where the hose was at, and they didn't have the common decency to plug it back in. I mean, it was a junction right there, and I don't know why they didn't plug it back. They had to literally unplug the plug, and like I said, didn't give us common courtesy of plugging it back in. Whether we were leaving or not, they should have plugged it back in. Didn't ask us to do nothing, just unplugged it and left it that way. But needless to say, we had the barbecue go bad in the refrigerator and stuff, so that was pretty much the icing on the cake for us. We, you know, we probably will not be going back there. It's a poorly, poorly, poorly run event, and I suggest that any team, if you want to help the Shriners out, just cut them a check, you know, even if it's an interest fee or whatever, and help them out. It's a great organization. It's just they have no organization when it comes to barbecue contests. That's what I have to say so far. I do want to give a shout-out to Danny from Pit Bulls and Smoke for taking grand. I want to give a shout-out to Killer Bees, who took reserve grand. Bubkey, who took third overall. Rocky Top took a first in chicken. We took a second in chicken, of course. I'm going to go down the list here. No, I'm sorry. Midnight Burn. Sorry, Wayne. Midnight Burn took first in chicken. Rocky Top took first in pork ribs. Got the Smithfield prize money there. Made an extra $500. First in pork was Butts or Us. It was a tie in first between Butts or Us and Pit Bulls Up and Smoke. Of course, Danny loses another coin flip. And then first in brisket was yours truly. Killer Bees was second going to Pickin' Porkers and third going to Barbecue. So we had some really good teams down there. You know, some of the people going to be calling in, you know, it's not like they had a bad contest and they're just venting. From the get-go of it, the contest was really and truthfully doomed to start with. Another issue they had was they wouldn't let any teams leave Saturday night until after fireworks, which is about 10 to 10:30. So, you know, judging is over at, you know, we go to awards at 5, they're over at 6. So the teams had to sit there for 4 hours waiting to get out just so they could go home. Several people have other businesses they need to get to. You know, it's common practice that most teams will stay till awards, and then as you know, that 80-90% of teams will leave after awards. So that was a big issue. Several teams didn't even come back to it because of that issue, and several teams will not be back because of that issue. So that being said, we have a couple callers on the line, and we'll get to them. And I think the first one would be, I'm pretty sure it's Brad Kay out of McCormick, South Carolina, and we'll put him on the air and see what he has to say about this event. So, Brad, you're on.
What's up, buddy? I'm glad you had a good Sunday and had a safe trip home, I suppose, with your bad pork and all.
Yeah, we just got home like 40 minutes ago. It was about a 5.5-hour trip. It took us almost 3 hours just to get to I-95. Traffic was unbelievable. It took us an hour to get to Conway.
Yeah, that's why I went ahead and left after we got back from supper. It was, you know, I wanted to be at the Cook's meeting at 4 o'clock Friday. And I mean, I know I was on 501 for about an hour. But I made it to the cook's meeting. So I'm not going to do a contest if I can't be at the cook's meeting. You know, cook's meetings are mandatory. And I don't know, I wanted to be there and whatnot. And I made it to the cook's meeting. So, but yeah, I went ahead and left out at midnight after we got through with the wonderful Italian restaurant, which was the highlight of the trip. Was, you know, I should have just stayed home and drove over there to have supper with y'all, actually.
Well, I think
we had Jan's
birthday party on Friday night, and then us and Roger Washer from Pickle Porkers went out to Merle's Inlet last night. Had a really nice dinner right there on the water and everything, kind of relaxed. And, you know, after this week, and I'm going to tell you what, man, it feels like I've been beat bad. I mean, I'm wore out. I'm stressed out, you know, all day Saturday with the pork issue and stuff. I mean, it's just some things that we try like hell not to put teams through. And so is everybody off the game. Luckily, it was pork, not chicken. If it was chicken, I would probably buy them in any other categories. But
yeah.
I know you
with
the teams with the issue with the chicken. And go ahead and talk about
our chicken issue was, you know, I consider myself a professional cook team. You know, we do a contest just about every weekend. You know, I've got a lot of money invested in this. Lang Smokers has got money invested in me. And, yeah, I'm a professional cook team. I consider myself a professional cook team. And, you know, you kind of want to get treated like one. And I really wanted to do this event with the Shriners. You know, I like to support the Shriners. But like you said earlier, if you want to support the Shriners, going to this event's not a good idea. Just cut them a check and mail it to them, I guess, because this was a I cooked a couple of cases of extra butts for them also, and I chopped them up, and they actually complained about that because they just put extra butts on or whatever, and I'm like, I just threw my hands up and walked back to the trailer there. But, yeah, let's say it was 12:23 it was actually 10 minutes after 12. Whenever Mickey come by my site looking for Ultimate Tailgaters, looking for Chris, and, you know, I told him where Chris was at, you know, and I thought maybe Chris got DQ'd in chicken. You know, you have a rep come to your site and turn ins, you just got disqualified in something. You know, and I didn't think nothing else about it. I mean, there wasn't nothing I can do. But, you know, as I'm slicing ribs, you know, I don't need a representative coming into my area and saying, you know, can you identify your chicken box and not really want me to tell me why. You know, I was the one that noticed that both of them had 47 on top of them. And I had thought the chicken had already been judged. You know, I thought that it had already been judged. But none of the chicken had even been touched. You could tell that something had been stacked on top of it because all my sauce was just scrunched in on top of my chicken. And another thing that really got to me about the chicken thing there is the when we got our results back. Did you notice who had the only tie in chicken?
Yeah, y'all.
Just me and Chris. We tied in chicken.
I was just looking at that.
So, I was kind of interested how we turned out there. And, you know, Tana, I've seen her a few events. You know, I'm going to have to see her a few more to have a real good seal of approval on her. I don't know. I mean, we got a lot of money in this crap. And, you know, I want to go out there. I want to have power and water. And I want to get a fair shake at the judging tables. And I also want to see a really good judging area for the judges that are coming. The judges are traveling to judge these events for us. And, you know, you usually see the big 4x8 tables and the chairs at these events. You know, if they're outside, they're outside. You know, if it's hot, it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold or whatever. But if you notice, they had these little bitty tables. There was only they could have been more than 2 feet wide.
Yeah,
and that, you know, that's what we had to set our boxes on. You know, I'm there pretty much by myself. And, you know, I couldn't just set my box down. You know, it's just, there's boxes just everywhere, and it was a mess. It really messed with me when I was slicing my ribs. You know, just to have to, you know, it screwed my mind all up. Wondering, you know, I've never heard of, you know, two teams getting the same number. I mean, Chris didn't get there till 10 o'clock Friday night, correct?
Right. And
you
he know, called
Chris.
And he asked if everything was okay. He talked to John, and they said, yeah, come on. He said, now, if you don't have room for me or blah, 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 then, you know, I can stay here. It doesn't matter. And they took him at, like, you know, 6 o'clock on Friday, knowing they didn't have enough judges. We talked to several judges. As getting into the judging area, they had no fans for the judges. It was 96 degrees out there. The judges were sweating. They were miserable. And, you know, we don't ask for much. You just try to accommodate a little bit. It's like the whole KCBS thing was just thrown in the trash. Well, y'all here, yeah. That's all we need. You know, we got your money. We're going to bring a lot of people out here. But, you know, to us, we just felt like we were second-class citizens. We were dirt. We don't expect to be treated by kings, even though some contests do. But the thing is, you know, a little courtesy, a little, you know, just a little appreciation would be nice, and we got none. I'm talking zilch.
If it was a backyard contest, it felt like a backyard contest to me. You know, if I was a backyard competitor and, you know, I would expect, you know, to have maybe not an experienced organizer or whatever, but, you know, it was run kind of like a backyard event. And I was really disappointed. I mean, the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce, like I said, was involved in it. You know, I just really thought that it was going to be a well-run. I mean, it was nice. It was a decent place. I mean, they couldn't help it rain. You know, it was wet. And you can rent plenty of generators. You know, I need at least 20 amps of power. You know, I told them I was bringing the bus. You know, they wanted the bus there. You know, we got a lot of nice rigs, and, you know, they all look nice when they're all together. And I don't know, just we didn't have a good weekend. So,
well, the thing with Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce is they set rules as they go, you know, and they're supposedly, that's what one reason why we don't visit Myrtle Beach anymore is because of the Chamber of Commerce. They make laws as they go, and there's so many laws you're afraid to even walk out in public anymore down there in Myrtle Beach. But getting on with that was, you know, we were all lined up along the field. They made us stay off the field, so we pulled our trucks, our vehicles behind our campers. Well, at 11:30, and they did the same crap last year, 11:30, you know, when you get – actually, last year it was almost 12 o'clock. But at 11:30, instead of telling everybody that morning to go around and get your vehicles out of there, they had policemen do it, said, you got to get your vehicles out of here or they're going to be towed. I mean, you've got a minimum of 30 to 35 teams there. They've still got crap in the back of their trucks. You know, some people are sleeping in the trucks. But tell them they're going to – yeah. A lot of them. I mean, Rocky Top, a few others were, you know, kind of hanging out. You know, you need your trucks there for the most part. Well, they're telling us they got to tow them if we don't move them. Now I'm like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah. I said, go ahead and tow mine then. I said, I want to see you get out of it from in between them trees and stuff. I want to see you get a roll back down in there and tow it. So, needless to say, you know, upset a lot of teams. Rocky Top, a few others were really upset about it. And, you know, then he comes back 30 minutes later right during chicken turning time. Says, nah, it's okay. Y'all can leave them there until after the contest. And I'm like, you know, and then they're telling people they couldn't leave until after the fireworks and stuff. And I'm thinking, if you got that many cops walking around that event to tell people not to leave or to move their vehicles or whatever, I mean, it's one thing one minute, one other thing another minute, then you've got enough cops to kind of direct traffic and let some of the damn teams out. Because in reality, we're on the back, you know, we're on a warning track. We're not going through the middle of the event where the stage is. We're on the back side, and we can go all the way around the thing You know, and the cops can sit there in direct traffic or whatever. Let some of these teams out of there. You know, some of them like pit bulls, and Bubba has some big rigs. There's no way they could get out of there. But, you know, some of these other teams, smaller teams, they could leave. And a few of them did leave. I don't know what became of that. But it's just the timing of everything they do and the kind of stress they put you in, like you're not stressed enough already. It's just mind-blowing, mind-boggling. You know, last year it was a cluster. This year, you had so many new teams come from Atlanta and everything. Even Big Jim Stansel came down. I mean, you had so many big teams. They're like, yeah, I've been to a goat roping before, but good God, this was the worst one I've ever seen. It was like, they've been doing this for 5 or 6 years, and they still do not know how to run a barbecue event. And it was the same way.
This year worse than last year?
Oh, yeah. A lot worse.
The worst contest I've ever been to.
I mean, by far. Now, I've probably done maybe, whole career, I think I've done maybe 80. Even the local events were 100% run better than this was. You know, the little cooking for kids, they had up the generator down to that. You know, they explained all the rules to everybody, and that was it, you know? And over there, rules change because there's so many cheese and no Indians. There was not, you need one guy, you know, or the board, to make a list of rules of what you can and can't do. And don't call people when they're on the way down there or the day before. Tell them they can't leave till after fireworks. You know, it didn't bother me because we were staying there anyway. And some teams were staying there anyway, too. But it bothered me that some of the teams that I know leave could not leave. And that poses a problem for the drivers. When they get out of there, you know, are they going to try to make home, get home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, fall asleep at a wheel or what? You know, that's, you know, it's a liability on the cook team. Looking all, making their event what it is, you know, I know they probably have some teams that comp their, you know, entry fee and all that stuff to get them to come there and cook in it. But I guarantee you what, they can comp mine next year and I won't be there. You know, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, but, you know, like I said before, I'm all for barbecue events. I'm all for promoting barbecue. But, you know, somewhere you have to draw the line as a cook team. And look out for other teams and let them know what's going on, because it was just the most poorly run contest and the most, I guess, unappreciative group to ever I've ever cooked with or cooked for.
I paid for 2 sauce entries. I paid for one for the there's one for on the SBN entry form, and there's one on the KCBS entry form. You know, I figured the SBN would do one and KCBS would do a sauce, you know, or whatever. I got my cup when I left your trailer because, you know, I hadn't got no cups yet. And we were still mind-boggled over the pork box and chicken boxes and whatnot.
Yeah. Well,
I get up there at 2:05 and, you know, Tana looks at her watch and looks back at me and says, "We've already taken them all. We can't take yours. You can set it on the table, and you'll still get credit for it," is what she told me. I said, "I'll still get credit for it. What does that mean?" Anyway, I just set it on the table and walked off. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was just, that's part of it, so, you know?
Now we get to move on to the next one.
they wanted me to enter a sausage, so we need some more sauce teams. So I gave them the money then. And I said, they said, "We'll come back with your cup." This was Friday morning. Asked them 3 times Friday. I even asked them at the cook meeting when we get a sauce cup. "Oh, we'll give them out in the morning." 2 times Friday, Saturday morning, the guy came by the golf cart, Shriner. You know, acted like he knew what was going on. You know, they were giving out boxes actually for SBN on Saturday morning and not Friday night. I don't know why. You know, that's just another thing.
That is a pretty regular practice in SBN events. From the ones I've competed in.
So anyway, we got those and asked for the sauce cup. I figured he'd be taking the sauce cup around. He said, "Well, we have to get you one." I said, "Put my name down. I made sure he wrote my name down, what I needed." Didn't hear nothing from him. So 11 o'clock, I went up to the judge's tent and said, "You know, are y'all going to distribute sauce cups?" Well, you didn't get one? Nope. All right, we'll get you one directly. What's the name of your team? Tell them again. No sauce cup. I finally, when I turned my brisket in and blew a gasket on my pork box. Because I told them when I came back down there, if you don't find my pork box, you might as well go ahead and call the cop because I'm gonna go ballistic. And so anyway, Nikki did find it. How it got screwed up, I don't know. It's simple math or just looking at the number, you know, and putting a sticker on it. That's all it is. Why it took them so long to get those entries in there. Well, I threw my brisket in there. There's probably 12, 15 brisket entries on the table. Just sitting there. And they weren't moving. You know what I'm saying?
And then that was for every category. I was about the first one to turn in chicken. Which I don't see why they screwed my number up, and I don't see how they didn't judge my box. Because, you know, they didn't judge my box. I don't even think they judged my block chicken. I really don't even think they judged my chicken. I think they just wrote down some numbers. Because, I mean, they was at my site at 12:25 when ribs were starting to be turned in. You know, I don't think they stopped, you know, the judging process just to judge two boxes of chicken. Or maybe they did, you know, whatever.
Well, by then they had a comparison, you know. So, you know, it's just, like I said, there's just so many wrong things that happened that, you know, shouldn't have happened, but did. Now, Chris would take, you know, he'd take 12th in chicken. I know him, you know.
Yeah.
But the chicken, he said he'd been struggling in chicken. He said, man, that's the best chicken that I've cooked all year. And, you know, his by score, you know, that it was, but I think he was looking for a top 10, you know, and I know you were too. But it was just a huge cluster on what went on down there. I think just about every team had an issue. Pick and Porkers wouldn't go stick their ribs on the table. It was so full that, you know, they said, stick it down an end. She said, well, it'd be hanging over the end. Oh, it'd be all right. And Marshall's looking at her like, no, I'm going to hold this. Y'all move this stuff. You know, there's no reason why this is the first event I've ever seen that they've had at least 15, 18 boxes sitting out in the sun on the table without stickers on them or moving to the back. You know what I'm saying? Usually when they get the first six in, stickers in, I mean, on them immediately and then to the back. This one, oh my God. I'm not lying. It probably took them probably quarter till to get all the boxes back there. Quarter till or quarter after, at least. So, you know, a lot of people weren't happy about that. You know, what was it? I think Andrew from Smokehouse Mafia, he was there at 12:26 with his rib box and nobody to come out to take the rib box. He's like, hello? You know? It's 12:26.
And again, we're all professionals. And, you know, we think, you know, I don't think we ask for a whole lot. You know, we do, you know, the power in the water. You know, but during the judging process, you know, I'd like to see a professional judging area and, you know, a lot more professionalism in the judging area. Because even the ladies that was taking the boxes, man, they just looked like they were really, I don't know if they've never done that before or what, but, you know, the little bitty tables, you put a box in the middle of it, you maybe have 3 inches on each side or whatever, and they just did not have a good system going at all. You know, I don't like seeing the tent with the two goofy-looking blue tarps hanging up either. That looks pretty ghetto to me.
Well, what the judges could see in too.
Yeah.
You know, if you turned in couple tables could see.
Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce, you know, we're right across from one of the nicest shopping areas and restaurant areas I've seen in a long time, and it all looked like a backyard cook-off to me.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, you got high-end housing there, you got high-end restaurants right across the street from this place. It's held in a massive park. They have baseball games going on. There's probably 10 or 12 manicured baseball fields. There's a lake. They take people boat rides up and down through there. There's boardwalks. There's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 restaurants within walking distance of it. High-end shopping, you know, areas. They have high-end condos on top of all these shops. I mean, it's right there by the old military base. It's right by the airport, actually, now. But, I mean, this is high-end stuff. I mean, these are, you know, at least half a million dollar condos up there. And to build these townhouses, which are at least, you know, $800,000 or $900,000 easy. Boom, 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 kind of like Charleston. And like Brent said, having a contest with this high-end industry right there and the kind of people that are in that area, you know, and then to pull off a contest like this, it's just degrading to the teams. Like I said, we go through a lot of crap. We spend a lot of money. If you do an ESPN and a KCBS event, the same, you've got minimum $1,500 invested in it, and I don't even think that applies towards your meals or anything. I mean, that's just, you know, necessities and your meats and everything else and your entry fees and all this. I mean, the entry fee for the ESPN was just as much as, if not more, than for the KCBS. The payout was low.
$175 plus $50, and then plus $25 for sauce.
$250. And what was KCBS? $250 plus $25 for sauce.
And plus $50 for your camper, which I guess was supposed to pay for your power. I don't know.
But everybody got the same power.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't pay the $50 extra.
I didn't. They were charging people power, and they didn't have any extra power. That's what I was talking about, a power issue. They gave everybody a 20-amp, supposedly a 20-amp thing. It wouldn't even run a 15-amp air conditioner. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. They ran maybe a 20-amp, but then four people plugged into it. I mean, people were tripping breakers right and left. You know, the water pressure, probably 90% of the time we wanted to use the water, it barely dribbled out of the thing because so many people were using it. You know,
I didn't have any trouble with water.
We had 15 teams on one water hose.
Yeah.
It was one water hose. That's all we had. And they put little spigots in. There was like 15 teams on that one water hose. And it was a half-inch galvanized out of the ground for the water.
I did get to take a shower in Danny Kugel's new trailer. And he's got an excellent shower in there. I don't know how it does it, but it kicked up the pressure or whatever. And it was a very well-deserved shower.
It depended on what time of day it was, I guess. But, you know, we've got another caller calling in right now, and I'm sure he's going to shed some light on this. He's one that's been down there about every year that they've held it, and had really enjoyed it in the past. And, you know, they've had some issues in the past, but I think he'll agree with us that this year was just far and beyond the worst ran contest they've ever had. And I know you know him, Brad. It's our famous Roger Wise from Pickin' Porkers. Hey, Roger, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jim, very well. Finally got back home from that terrible drive. Wasn't that a killer for the traffic?
It took us 2.5 hours to get to I-95.
I can understand that completely. I really can. But Marcia and I drove down the road for a while, and then an ice cream cone called me, and so I had to stop and get one of those. And then being the fat boy that I am, I thought it was appropriate to pull over on the side of the road where I stood and take a nap in the motorhome. We took our time getting home and finally got back here and went to Salem about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we got home. We pulled in our driveway at about 6:15. I loaded the meat and I came straight in here.
You're worse than I am.
But it was bad. We had a lot of rain on the way back. A lot of idiots out there on the interstate. And, yeah, we try to get out of there a little earlier or whatever. But, you know, that's not there's Myrtle Beach traffic that weekend. It's just horrendous. So, you know, it is what it is. But I know you had several issues with this contest. You've been down there quite a few times. They've always had some issues. You know, some of it was power, some of it was water and everything. But I think this year it just culminated. I think this was the epitome of everything this year, in my opinion.
Well, to sum it up, I think I can just say this. I finally get it. I get it through my head because I've been grumbling about some of these issues ever since the day we started cooking in 2007. And while I always entered this contest knowing it was a low-budget, low-purse situation, we went back for nostalgia year after year because we like Myrtle Beach. And admittingly, we had some problems with the organizational aspects of these contests in the past, but got to know a few of the guys there that belong to the trainer organization. And and plus, it's what I'm going to call close to home. Anything within 5 hours of us is close to home for contests. So it met all the criteria that we used to decide which contest to enter. And so we did so again this year with with assurances that it was run exactly as it was last year. I voiced my concern a couple times to various parties connected with this event about the lack of communication and the teams were not being told anything. And this was all said prior to the event even taking place. But I was assured that it was ran, or will be run, just as it was last year, which, coming from the Shrine organization, I felt that was all I needed to know. So we went on down, and we joined the contest and had a good time. From a cook standpoint, you know, scoring is as it is. You never know. We cooked as well as we could. I don't think I would change a thing in the flavor profiles or procedural aspects of it. The scores didn't fall our way in every category on either side of the judging table for either the SBM or the KCBS side. But so I'm not going to ever complain about all of that. Other than normal griping about tenderness scores from these judges that don't have a clue, but you know, that's a different subject altogether. But the overall organizational aspects of this contest finally sank in this weekend, and that's why I say I finally get it. It's been this way since 2007 when I first started cooking. It's the same issues year after year. The information you give them falls on deaf ears. Nothing has changed. And you've just got people that really just look at themselves as we are the Chamber of Commerce and we are the Shriners. So, fully on you cook teams. We're here to make money. And we're going to make money at all costs. And so, to hell with your desires, basically, is what I get, because they'll listen but never do anything. And I think the issues that really just tore at me this year again was the same things I've been through in the past. Lack of decent power and lack of water. Going back to the power, I don't know how many electrical people we have out there, but the issue here, when I say lack of power, not only did we not have the amperage we needed, but what teams don't recognize is you've got to have the proper voltage for most of this equipment. And I keep a voltmeter on our motorhome, and we were lucky to get 95 to 98 volts on a 120 volt circuit. And from an average standpoint, we were tripping breakers left and right. Even my poor old guru was acting up because of the low voltage situation. So I could go on and on and on and on. And so I think I've bashed it so much, I'm tired of talking about it.
Well, you know, like I said, we were down there last year, and that was our first year, and we ended up winning grand in SBN and KCBS last year. This year, you know, we ended up reserve grand in both of them. And, you know, the complaints we have are really not – I mean, I'm just echoing from several other teams about some of the issues. I mean, getting on Facebook and talking to some other teams, it was you know, from other teams I hadn't even heard of till today on the way home, you know, Jan sitting there looking on Facebook and stuff, voicing their opinion about this contest and everything. You know, Walt from Rocky Top, Jim Stansel from Bare Knuckles. You know, it was just a poorly run event. You know, Rob Barron, actually, he got the call just in time because he went up to Maryland. He said he's not putting up with not being able to leave after awards because, you know, these guys that come in as low budget as they can so they can afford to do this week in and week out. You know, a lot of teams do. But they want to be able to leave right after awards because they don't have the, you know, the necessity to rent a hotel room, to
stay another night, or they don't have a camper to sleep in. And, you know, one night out in the wild is enough for them after, you know, cooking barbecue for 2 days. So, you know, and it didn't give them an option. You know, if they leave at 10 o'clock and they're 4 hours alone, that's 2 o'clock in the morning. They got damn fall asleep at the wheel and kill themselves, killing other people. So,
I understand people wanting to leave. I got the same phone call. I did not answer the phone, but the guy that was in charge of the event, Fort Shriners, called me at 10:31. I just listened to the message a little while ago, telling me that we'd have to stay. Well, in my particular case, that doesn't bother me. My plans were to stay anyway. So, but I understand how the other teams that have a desire to leave can go. What is even more aggravating about that is the fact that we all got emails promoting this event back in March or April, indicating that they understood there were some disgruntled teams about that very rule last year, and they intended to change that.
Exactly.
And a lot of people signed up believing that, okay, they changed that silly aspect of it. So here at the last hour, the Chamber of Commerce says to the Shriners, people cannot leave until after fireworks. Now, that's the heck of a time to be telling somebody.
Well, I mean, half the teams are already there, already on the road. You know? I mean, coming through Georgia, and he said, that's when I got the phone call. I left on Thursday. And he said, yeah, we're playing on afterwards. We could make it back home. If we left there at 6 o'clock, you know, we could make it back home in a decent hour. But he said, after that, he said, we couldn't. And, hell, they were out there by the parking lot. I'm thinking they got so many cops walking around there doing nothing but telling, you know, cookers what they can and can't do. Because of the Chamber of Commerce. I didn't know the Chamber of Commerce was the police chief or whatever. You know, but anyway, down there they are. But, you know, if they have that many cops walking around, let them go out a back way. You know, last year several teams snuck out the back way. And, you know, they barricaded off this year. They said no team's going to leave now. But, you know, they need to let these teams know, or at least put them in an area where if you want to leave, you have that option. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's areas down there where you could get, you know, rigs in there and let them have the first option of leaving or whatever.
It was explained to me there would be teams that had plans to leave immediately after the contest would be parked on the side over there next where the van was located. In other words, right in the parking lot. And you would not be endangering the public that was visiting whatsoever, but apparently that changed. When we arrived, and before I even left, went to Salem to go to this contest, I was told, park wherever you want when you arrive. And I'll take my normal spot over next to this particular light pole because I knew power was nearby and whatever. So it's the same spot I've been in since day one. And the poor old place just got beat up there with all that rain. My motorhome got stuck up, and I can't blame the organizer or the event for that, but, you know, the rains really came in. But and they were nice enough to pull me out and get me squared away. But from this contest standpoint, again, I'm going to repeat, I finally get it. It's not going to change. And the heck of it is, this is an excellent physical facility, or I'd like to say venue, with the exception of the power and the water, and those issues can be addressed. But having never organized a barbecue event, I have organized similar events on the same size scale, and these things can be overcome if somebody takes an interest in what they're doing. And that's where I think that the problem with this contest lies, is that nobody takes a real interest in seeing this thing succeed. It's a visitor ploy to get people to come in, and then, of course, we're always raising money for the children. Yeah, I love the Shriners Hospital. I do. I love what they do. And most of my adult life, I've been raising money for children through the Little League and stuff like that. And so that stuff is always crammed down my throat, making me feel bad if you don't do something for, quote, the children. And so after a while, cooking these barbecue contests, every time I hear somebody try to make you feel bad because you don't have the same enthusiasm as these people, and then they use us cook teams, I don't know if I should say this on air or not, but use these cook teams as temps cooking their barbecue for them. That's where I feel like I'm being used. And so I made another firm vow this weekend on the way home. This will be the last contest I ever, ever, ever accept meat from an organizer and cook extra meat for them to sell it to raise funds. And I don't care what the funds are for.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm going back to the organizers. I mean, the Shriners could care less about the cook teams. Like you said, it's like we're I mean, we don't look for a whole lot. But it's like when you had an issue, it's like, oh, well, you think about the children, think about this. Well, I'll tell you what, if you get some decent water and powder, I'd pay an extra $100 for all that, you know, and a little more prize money. And then we'll talk about the children and stuff. But, you know, if they need money that bad, I'll just send them a donation and be done with it.
Yeah, I heard you earlier. And honestly, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. But there's other worthy causes as well. I'm big on cancer research. My benevolence can only stretch so far. And God knows I give enough money already now for cancer research, children, this, that, and the other. I would love to send them a donation, but I'm not saying I never will again. The only thing I can say is as long as the Shriners are connected with this event in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Pick and Porkers will never cook that event for no reason, no way, no how.
Well, like you said, going back, the lack of communication was just unbelievable. You know, even between them, one guy would say one thing, one guy would say, oh, well, I'm the grand poobah. Well, you know, I'm the one that wears the bigger hat with the bigger tassel on or whatever. You know, so who do you – we don't know the rankings. I mean, they've got so many Alibaba rankings and stuff in the Shriners. And like I said, Shriners are great. They do a great cause. But they don't need to be in the barbecue business. They really don't.
That's like having one baseball that stinks. You can't condemn baseball because one team stinks.
But, you know, it's like, you know, but this event last year wasn't near as bad because Kenny took it over. Well, Kenny got a new spot. Somebody else took it over. I don't know how all the rankings work or whatever. And you would think that, you know, they would both together to address some of the issues they had last year, but they didn't. And this year got worse because they kept taking – there's more teams this year. They kept taking – got up to the end. They told several judges to stay home. They didn't need any. Well, every event I do, they always get 8 to 10 extra judges there at the event, just in case. You know? If nothing else, well, anything but category on Friday night or something. You know, give them something to eat. But, you know, several judges that I know were told to stay home. They had plenty of judges. And then we get down there, just about all the table captains had to judge. And we don't know for a fact that they had 100% CBJ judges. They could have. But they told them, you know, at the beginning of the week not to come in. So why are you accepting teams knowing you don't have enough judges? I mean, are they that money hungry? And that's another part where they just don't care about the teams. They just want to get them down there. Or if you get them down here, we'll work something out. You know, it's all in hindsight. And it, like I said, it's poorly organized. You know, I think, in all honesty, that the reps were way overwhelmed. They were way overworked. It was too hot, no fans, no accommodations for the judges, you know, as far as halfway keeping them cold. I've seen them where they have the air-conditioned tent. You know, it's hard to judge barbecue when you're sweating on it, you know. If you're already hot and miserable, then you got to eat more hot food. Probably by the time the food got to them, it was cold. But, you know, they didn't have enough Indians there. They had all these Shriners walking around with these green shirts on, doing the grand thing. You know, get back there and help these reps. You know, we're there to help you all out. So you can help them out. You know, delegate some authority or something, but nobody would. Nobody would take charge of the situation, say, hey, we need this here, this here, and this here. They were all about the glory and everything of this event, about how many people they get in the gate. And several people came in looking for barbecue, and there wasn't any barbecue for them. You know, they paid X number of dollars for a wristband, and they didn't get to taste any barbecue. But they're still selling the tickets. And I'm like, you know, it'd be nice to have somebody around and say, all right, who's got barbecue left? We can send them there. But there's none of that going on. They just let them in the gate, and they just kind of, you know, trashed some of the people that came in the gate. You know, promised them barbecue, and everybody's already out. So, you know, like I said, there's Shriners do a great job with the hospitals and stuff, but you know, I think they need somebody or some people in there that know how to put on an event. Let the Shriners do their, you know, their hoorahs and stuff, but let somebody else run the event. I mean, if you're going to continue to do this, which probably after tomorrow, after KCBS gets a lot of their stuff off the website about this event, I don't think they need to be run a KCBS event there until they get their act together.
Well, that's my feelings, no doubt. But the people that really have to understand this and get this through their head is the Chamber of Commerce down there. This is their event. The association, as I understand it, I'm not the organizer, didn't really help put it together, but as I understand it, they do it in conjunction with the Shriners, but the Chamber has really controlling interest, particularly on Sunday. But one of the things that we have to remember of all these issues that we've talked about is that you've got issues that can be blamed on three different parties. One, the issues regarding turn-in and the tables, this, that, and the other. While the organizer has a role there, it's still up to KCBF to ensure that the contest will run smoothly and do what they have to do. That's the same when they've got the people given to them by the organizer to help it run smoothly. I'm not a rep, and I've never been trained as a rep, but that's as I see it and as I understand it. Item number two is you have the organizational structure of this contest, which, when I say structure, there was none. None whatsoever. Zilch. And so teams such as ourselves and other people that consider ourselves professional, we were really left out in the dark in terms of knowledge and this, that, and the other, in areas that affected the cook-off itself. I know you have a cook's meeting and we heard standard stuff, but simple things like, where did you park? You know, where generally you're expected to park in a certain place. I love the freedom of going back to my old spot, don't get me wrong. But the point I'm trying to get at is that's the second area of the blame. The third area of the blame would relate to everything not associated with the KCBS or SBN cook-off, and that was the wing contest. That was a chamber event, and they in turn did an extremely poor job of communicating to those people who wished to join that contest. And as you remember, I had to go digging for that information. In reality, what I'm almost confident happened is that the chamber either contracted or subcontracted or had a buddy system rolling with an outfit called Palmetto Productions, which is one of these companies that will help put on the event. And the young ladies that I talked to there really didn't have a clue about what was happening on Sunday. And so I went up there to get the information on the wing contest, and then, well, you know, that garbage. The turn-ins were going to come by my site and pick up our wings. They never showed up, so I walked them up there 10 minutes after the turn-in time. The problems just go on and on. So really there's three areas of places here to lay blame. And rather than trying to sit here and be the answer to all parties, I think the best thing to do is just avoid this competition until we're given assurances that, one, things will definitely improve and you prove it to us, and secondly, we get somebody other than the Shriners in there. There's other worthy causes out there that would appreciate the opportunity to raise money for their causes. And cancer research is a good one. Gosh, I was confused and concerned. Why would the chamber turn down the opportunity to make money? Golly, they're always looking for ways to make money.
Well, that's
what few people came. There was a good money-making opportunity. On Sunday, granted, the crowds were sparse, particularly just before we left. So before we left, I wasn't too disappointed. Now, I look back on it because I'm not really sure that the crowds are going to support the bands they had. But I think it could be handled so much better out there if they had somebody that had some professional common sense and experience handling all of this.
Well, you've done a lot more contests than I have. You know, a lot of cities or towns that we go to, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, a lot of times are the ones that are putting this on. Well, the thing with those is most of those towns that you come to, they welcome you with open arms and try to do everything they can in their power to help you out, the cook teams. Here, nobody from the Chamber of Commerce came to see anything, you know, as far as I know. You know, most of them are at the cook's meeting to say a few things about how they appreciate us coming and cooking and doing all this stuff and raising money for that area and the economical impact that we make, you know, going out and eating fuel, food, you know, whatever. And, you know, they're very appreciative of us coming in there. Myrtle Beach does none of that. I mean, zero, zip. You don't hear from them. You don't see them. All you get is their stupid rules about what you can and can't do. They threaten you with, with the cops coming around. They threaten it. You know, they threaten to tow your vehicles. You know, they threaten to write you citations if you try to leave. And all this other stuff. And I'm like, you're killing this contest this year. And I know for a fact they've killed it, you know? It's
I believe in the contest early, where some people look at it. You know, you know my feelings about that. We were told earlier in the year in the email that they had that situation resolved, but apparently that was not the case. And then you get the information at the last hour, and I hate repeating myself and ourselves, but that's exactly what happened. And I guess what I'm trying to say when I say all this is that we can grumble and complain all we want, but nothing's going to change until we get to the right people. And anybody listening, if you really want to complain to anybody, it's the Chamber of Commerce you need to complain to, not the Shriners, not KCBS. Not complain to KCBS on KCBS-related issues. But the Chamber needs to know what's happening. Always envision yourself as somebody that's sitting in an office somewhere that does not take care of the day-to-day activities. They don't know. They're only going to go by feedback they get.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, Brad might have something else to say, too, but like I said, you know, KCBS really has the final say on who gets a sanctioned event or not. And if they're not going to run the event, that's the KCBS standard, then they don't deserve it. That's what I'm saying. And I hate it for the Shriners because it's a money-making thing for them, and it's a money-making thing for Chamber of Commerce Myrtle Beach. And Chamber of Commerce Myrtle Beach, you know, they need to take a step back and look at this thing. You know, it's a lot of money we bring into this, a lot of money we spend to come down there and do this, and to get treated the way we did. There were some issues with KCBS reps. There were quite a few issues with those. And, you know, if they're not able to handle a contest of that magnitude, then they need to bring in some more reps or get one. Because, you know,
all the teams that were there have something to say to KCBS and said three, four, or five teams. What I would envision, this is, man, I'm really reaching out there. The first year we participated was 2007, and it was strictly an SCBA event then. And it continued as such until last year, whenever they switched to another dual contest involving the SDN. Well, a lot of the people that are heavily involved in SDN are Shriners as well, so that tells you plenty right there about why the sanctioning and why the judging is as it is. What I see is my crystal ball, and I'm sure I've got some people biting on their fingernails right now, or either cussing me every which way they can, is that, my prediction is that we'll drop KCBS and go with another junior varsity organization such as SDN, or heaven forbid, SCBA again. So that's my prediction. Let's see what happens. I hope I'm wrong. I'd really love to see it become one of the top-notch events in the Southeast, properly promoted, and something that KCBS and the Chamber of Commerce can be extremely proud of. Myrtle Beach, being the vacation destination that it is, really, really, really wants to make an impression on a national level, and that's why they went to KCBS in the first place. So I stress, if anybody has a problem with this contest, let it be known. If you can sit back and write and grumble about it, you're not going to do any good. So let it be known and tell the powers to be.
I mean, it's everybody's opinion, but, you know, if everybody has issues with it, then it speaks as a very large voice to KTVS or whoever. And one thing that like I said, we're not just sitting here bitching and moaning about a contest. I mean, several waves have been hit all over the Southeast by different teams and everything had issues. And it's not just us, you know, and it's not that we did poorly. We did very well down there. And several of those teams did very well, but they had several issues with what was going on. And, you know, barbecue is tough work. You know, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. But, you know, when you get all kinds of stuff thrown at you, stuff that you take for granted they're going to have that they already promised it you they would have. And see, like Brad said, I don't see where they were charging campers $50 extra for power, but they gave everybody the same power. I don't get it. And, you know, it's just nothing trying to squeeze money out of the cookers. Don't do it to the cookers. If you want them back and make it great, don't do it to the cookers. You know, that's who you hope about. Brad, you got anything else to add?
No, Brad. I'm still here. I'm just ready to go on to the next one. I guess we got Union coming up this week, and
yeah,
we're it's about being a bit.
Now, I know Roger's been in contact with several people. They did a contest up in Maryland this year.
Oh, where this year?
That's actually where Two Worthless Nuts went, because he found out he couldn't leave on Friday.
No, he went to one in Virginia.
Oh, in Virginia.
Yeah, in Harrisonburg, Virginia, yes.
Okay.
I could see he would think that, but in fact, I talked to Rob on the way home. He called me and filled me in on his kickoff. He had a lot of good things to say about this thing. You know, it was a shame that they only had 11 teams up there for this event, but he was talking about the venue, the power, the county fairgrounds up there.
How many teams did they have?
And so that's something certainly to keep an eye on. Now, of course, I hope they do more about the purse. A $4,000 purse is not personally excite me a whole lot. Going up there, we're not even paying for my gas, but I won the blasted thing. But the one in Maryland, when I remember in past years' research, because I always look across the continents, sounds like the viable alternative right now for us. And I would not be surprised to see us make that little longer drive to Maryland just to do this contest. You know, I like the beach, so if I'm close to the water, I get to see the water too. So we might take a look at it.
Well, now, there was one in Maryland too, wasn't there?
That's the one I'm talking about. But when my phone breaking up like it is, we may be talking about the same thing, to the best of my knowledge.
Mike Richter from Chickawana Bovine was telling me about it up in Greer last week. He said that you come in on Thursday. He said they have a dinner for the cooks and stuff. Then Friday, they get some charter boat captains up there, and you pay minimal amount of money to go out with these charter boat captains to go fishing for cook teams only. Well, they split them up. They got like little bets between the boats and between the teams and stuff going out to catch a fish. I think it's a half-day trip or whatever. But anyway, they take the teams out at a really cut-rate price. And then Friday night, they have a dinner for the cooks that they actually take a ferry over to an island. And, you know, he said that the meal over there is just unbelievable. And he said, all this is just for the cooks, you know, who's cooking this contest.
Right.
And he said they roll out the red carpet at this contest. And I could have sworn he said it was in Maryland this weekend. And he was telling me about it, and I said, dadgummit, if it wasn't so daggum far, I'd go up there. You know, it was supposed to be some fantastic contest up in Maryland, what he told me. So I don't know if it was
for a long time. And so naturally, we love having a good time when we go out and do these things. Good time is not always defined as partying, this, that, and the other, but I'd go out and see the area, see what's going on. And if that's all true about this particular cook, we definitely need to take a long, long look at it.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think the highlight for us this weekend was Jan's birthday party that we had on Friday night. And the other highlight was us going out to dinner in Merle's Inlet and enjoying that, which kind of really helped us unwind anyways from such a hectic and stressful weekend. I think you already got my message where they unplugged my, you know, they were rolling up the hose when we were leaving yesterday, and they unplugged my extension cord yesterday and didn't plug it back in.
Yeah, I saw that, and man, I'm sitting here thinking $300 worth of meat just on all the pieces right there. And the best you can ever expect out of that is an apology. And of course, kind of like raising a bunch of children, I didn't do it, and nobody's going to ever take blame for that, so it's just the way it goes. It's a bummer.
Well, there's guys with that golf cart rolling that hose up, and you would think one of them would have had the courtesy of just plugging it back in, if we were leaving then or not. It was plugged in when you took it off. Why didn't you plug it back in afterwards? Like you said, nobody's going to take responsibility for it or anything, but it is what it is. And luckily, you know, we put a lot of that meat in the coolers and we had ice on it, so we didn't really lose hardly anything in the fridge. It was still decently cold, but the point of it was that you know, that they did it and didn't kill anybody. So,
well, you got pussies out there too, and you know, you've got all kinds of real winners in every organization. So, gosh, you know, I just wish it was an answer to all of that. But it all comes back down to the top. You've got to have somebody that's worth a hoot running the show, checking behind the subordinates. That doesn't happen here. But when you've got the people at the top that don't really give a hoot either, then you've got a recipe for disaster. We're talking about in Maryland, the smoking on the bay at Tracy's Landing in Maryland. They have a published purse of $15,000, which is far better than Myrtle Beach as well. And, I've looked at that in the past. It sounds quite interesting. Of course, Three Eyes Barbecue won it again. So won it. I don't know about that particular event, but those guys have been on a hot roll here. They've knocked out yet one more win, and our good friend Rick Hamilton with Ham Bones by the Fire, he was fifth, so that's good. That's good. And, of course, Jacksonville South, looking at the results here, was 10th, so congrats, Lyron, on that one if you're listening. And our good friends at Cheryl Griller was 13th, and then Ditch Swine was 14th overall. Oh, and as I see the results here, one other team, Sea Dog Barbecue. And let me mention them. That's a team I felt so sorry for in Virginia a couple months ago. And those people that may have seen that video of the street line winds that came through up there and blew some WSMs away. That was a team that had to suffer that loss. And so I'm glad to see them back participating. But they had a 47-team cook-off this weekend, so they must have something going for them up there. I think it's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little far, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, with how they take care of the cookers, you know, Mylon goes up there and does it. There's something to be said, you know. A lot of our teams, if they really take care of the cookers, you know, we don't mind trying a new event, stretching out a little bit beyond our normal areas and stuff to go do an event. You know, to enjoy the area. I mean, it's a new area, you know, for a lot of the teams and stuff. And you want to venture out a little bit. Now, we've got another caller on the line, 680-5087. Hello? 680? Who do we have? They said, I want to talk.
Well, if I make a drink, keep them on the line, let's see what happens.
Okay.
By looking at this promotional stuff on Smoking on the Bay, of course, I love the name. Anytime you get me close to the ocean or the bay, I'm extremely happy. If seafood is involved, I'm even happier because we get tired of barbecue.
Right. Well, yeah, like I said, you know, we like to try out local cuisine. You know, we do a few in North Carolina, a few in South Carolina. We do a lot in Georgia and stuff, but you know, a lot of these small towns that we go to are run so very well because, like I said, the Chamber of Commerce pretty much rolls out the red carpet for most of the teams. They do make sure, you know, if you got marginal power, most of them, you know, they'll drop of a dime, they're going to get a daggum generator to make sure all the teams have enough power. Because, as you know, with barbecue, it's coming along the technical age where with these gurus and stokers and all these things that you have, you know, you've got to have ample power to run them. I mean, even my Memphis, if I don't have enough power to run it, you know, like up in Greenwood, we had these power issues up there because so many people pulling off the poles. You know, they don't work properly. They start giving you misreads. My Memphis wouldn't even crank up. It would it'd run for a little while, then it'd shut off. So, you know, have that stuff happen at competition is just disheartening. You know, you rely on it, you buy the equipment, you spend a good money on this equipment, and then for them not to have ample power to support it, which it doesn't take very much to support those electronic pieces, you know, it gives you faulty readings, and it screws up your whole cook. It screws up your mental ability to do the cook, and, you know, plus it gives you that extra stress. So, you know, if people out there want to do an event, you know, do the research on it. Don't just throw it together. Oh, yeah. You know, you really, really need to go to some of these premier events and see how these organizers run it, ones that have been in it for, you know, 10, 12 years. See how they run it. See what they do. See how they get the people involved, the community involved, you know, the Boy Scouts or whatever, you know, the Go Around Trash Pickup, whatever, you know. See what they do to make these things run smoothly. They're not easy to do. I promise you they are not. But as for a cooker standpoint, if you have power and water, we're pretty happy. You know, that's it. We don't have to have shade. Shade's nice. We don't have to have grass. We don't have to have asphalt. You know, we need something where we're going to get our trailers and RVs stuck in it. I mean, we don't need no quagmire, but, you know, we need the simple things, you know, that you have in your daily household, power and water. You know, you can't live without it at your house, so, you know, we can't live without it at these events. So, you know, when you do these events, make sure you have that for the cookers and then go from there.
Well, when you say power, you have to also add in, probably best to say it, clean power. Good, strong voltage is necessary. To keep, any less than that, it's kind of like a brownout situation. You can start really messing with equipment on your motor homes. Even my guru this weekend was showing me the weirdest things on the screen, and I'm confident it was a low power situation, a low brownout situation. And when you go back to the motor home and look at the voltmeter, and you're looking between 95 to 100 volts, that's going to mess with your equipment. Your equipment has to work harder to get power, and it heats up. In fact, I burned out two plugs in Franklin where I thought I had good, clean power. But at the end of the cook-off, I tried to separate my power cords, and now I'm talking about another $100 worth of power cords I had to trash just to get new plugs on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, basically, real and truthfully, if people want to do these things, if you have 30-amp, clean 30-amp power, you got more. You got enough for the team to use. You know, that will guarantee that we can run anything we need to off that amperage. And, you know, you got some big motor homes that have, you know, would really require 50-amp, but the normal person, really truthfully, half the teams would probably need 20-amp. The other half probably prefer 30-amp. So, you know, make it pop. You know, we're all out there. I mean, we love promoting barbecue. We love doing these events. We love trying to win. We love the different towns we go to. You know, we just love doing it. We're very passionate about it. And, you know, we don't require a whole lot, but we would like to have, you know, a couple little things in our favor to have it. And we've got another number coming in here, 423-341. You're on the air.
ATM, this is Walt.
Hey, Walt. This is Walt from Rocky Top Barbecue. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Just got in there about 4 o'clock, and I just want to touch on what y'all been talking about.
So you've been listening this whole time?
Yeah. I think y'all covered all the basics, really. I mean, it was probably my last go-around down there.
So this was actually go-around too, wasn't it?
Do what?
This was actually your first go-around, too, down there, wasn't it?
Yeah, first and last, yeah. I mean, I just feel like we were trying to treat it kind of like criminals. I mean, there's somebody always trying to watch what you're doing and just, you know, I'm getting ready to toss my chip at 11:35, and the cops come in there and say, you got to move your truck. So, you know, he said, I said, well, I ain't got time. So I ended up giving my key to some guy I didn't even know, and he moves it. So after I move it, he comes back and says, and I could keep it there.
That's what I did.
You know, I had to have my truck, so I didn't have my bus or nothing. I was kind of had some stuff in it. And,
you know, it was just a bad deal.
I have no clue on what we go through. You know, they think, oh, they're just cooking some meat. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to tell that cop. I said, I'm getting ready to do my chicken. He's like, well, it's got to be moved, so, you know. Do whatever you got to do.
I mean, several people have been disgruntled in the past down there, but you come to the event, I mean, you've expressed your concerns and dislikes about the event. Like you said, you're not coming back to it. And this is a first impression for you. So, you know, that's very important when you get a lot of new teams down there. And, you know, you see what's going on. Last year it wasn't near this bad, but they didn't have as many teams. And I don't think they're prepared to do that, number one. Number two, the rules as they go along is just unbelievable. And the cops last year actually came by around 12 o'clock last year. And Midnight Burn had to move their van, and they burned their ribs up for the contest because they had to move their van because they were afraid they were going to get sued.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do it in time, but not then. You know, if you want to move, tell us in the morning or tell us at the cook's meeting, you know.
Yeah,
by
Friday.
Your vehicle cannot be on.
And the Sunday Shriner said, well, you know, they're saying you're going to move it, but they said don't do nothing until they force you to, you know, just leave it as it is. So, see, they needed to say, yeah, you're going to have to move it, but. Everything just kind of left up in the air. I mean, everybody told everybody something different. I mean, you could talk to 10 people and you get 10 different answers.
Yeah, and that's the communication part I was talking about.
Yeah.
We got another call that wants to talk. 910-429, you're on the air.
Jim, this is Corey, man, with Fatbacks.
Hey, Corey.
What's going on, brother?
It's a great event, man.
Man, I made up my mind last year, just like old Roger did. I showed up there last year Friday night, 10 o'clock. Organizer showed up. He was about drunk. He told me where to park at. I pulled over there, and next day, Saturday, I was doing both events. I started, it was about an hour before turn-in, I want to say on the pork, and I heard this horn blowing. And I was like, man, what's the deal? I think I told you all that. And it was the pork turn-in. They had done it an hour early. So I looked in the books on the SBN rules or whatever, and it said 10 and 11, and they changed it up about 9 and 10. So I was an hour behind. And the guy told me to, I said, well, what about my ribs? Or what about my pork? He says, well, just turn that in with your ribs. So I was the only pork category going to be turned in with the ribs. So it was just... I'm thinking, man, if I had perfect pork or the sorriest pork, they're going to know exactly who it is. So, man, that place is just unreal. I cannot believe they continue to allow cookers to come down there.
Well, we'll get good new feedback on it. We're getting some old feedback on it. I mean, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And you'd think that, you know, that's some complaints that some of these cook teams would have and bring them to life, but they're not. And it's just unbelievable the mess we went through. And, you know, that's the first time my wife went down there. And, you know, like I said, the highlight was her birthday party on Friday night and going out to eat last night. That was it. You know, usually we love to cook off, hang out with teams, but nobody wanted to hang out. Nobody wanted to do anything because they were all pissed off at everything under the sun from this event. And, I screwed with some of these guys, you know, turn-ins and stuff. We got another caller, 770-866. Who's 770-866?
Randall. Randall Bowman.
Hey, Randall. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm a bit in shock hearing all these stories.
It's not just us venting either, Randall. Now, you were a first-time. You put on one up and coming, Georgia, National Barbecue Cup. Your first year, you had 95 teams, the pro teams, if I'm not mistaken. And you put on one hell of an event your first year ever doing it.
We try, that's for sure. I can't imagine having some of the issues in a first year, much less a third, fourth year.
Exactly. Sixth year.
Sixth is first year, yeah.
Wow. I tell you what, I got phone calls Saturday after the last turn-ins from teams that were up there just telling me how awful it was and how glad I should be that I didn't come. And, I thought, God, they're just blown out of proportion. It just wasn't fun. But, man, I have not heard one positive thing from anyone, and I have spoken to probably 10 teams since Saturday.
Well, here's one positive thing. This is Roger, by the way. We walked out with our entry feedback. So there's one positive aspect of it.
There you go. Well, I've talked to teams that have never filled out a KCBS critique form who could not wait to get home to print one out to send it to the KCBS office. And that's unfortunate. I mean, it really is. And it's not, I think there's a really bad lack of organization. And, there's a place for all kinds of events, but I'd be shocked if this is a KCB event anymore.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do in that respect. I really don't know how KCBS handles it. KCBS had their share of screw-ups, too. So, at one point, there's in all kinds of directions. But in reality, this has been an ongoing process down there from an organizational standpoint. I don't know that I would be in favor of KCBS totally giving up on it yet. The chamber has to get it through their head that they've got to have somebody better to partner up with to get this one down the road. So I understand what the chamber's trying to do. Gosh, they're trying to promote Myrtle Beach. But, and so they really need to reevaluate their relationships.
From an organizer's point of view, if you don't keep teams happy, you don't have an event. I mean, and it's just really that simple. If they don't have power, if they don't have water, if they don't have access to their sites, they're not going to be happy and they're not going to come back. And without a team, you don't have an event.
Well, their attitude towards everything, you up there setting teams up, you're making, amendments, so to speak, to satisfy the teams. You went out of your way. And, hell, last year, with Georgia boys moving over, you said, hell, if you can fit your trailer in there, all half the turn ins, and you understood. And he's like, well, we lay these things out. They don't always exactly how you want to, but if there's a way that we can make you feel better, we will do it. These people down there, you ask, we'll get right on it. You don't see them again. I wrote it down. I think I asked six times for my salt cup. They give me a Dixie cup, wrap the window on it. Here you go. Where's the lid? Oh, we don't have lids. What? No, just wrap aluminum foil around it. I said, seriously, this is how you're going to do a sauce contest. We did a chicken wing contest yesterday. We don't know who won. Roger, I think, finally figured out who won, but you didn't hear nothing about it.
I don't have a clue who won.
Oh, well, I thought, we could
have
won.
They may not know who won.
Nobody informed us who won. So, we have no clue. We could have won.
Who knows? We may have kept the money. I don't know. Last year, they announced it on the main stage over there. They may have this year. I might have been fussing with them about the ability to be in barbecue at the time and missed it. But the point I'm getting at is that last year, they made a big deal out of it. We were up against the major chains. I'm not going to call them out on air, but I'm talking about the major wing places. And so it was a trip this year. It really was. But I'm going to repeat my mantra. I get it. I finally got it through my head.
Hey, Randall, hold on a minute. I got another call on the line that had some issues too. It was unbelievable, and I'll let him tell your experience. Chris Fulmer, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, I won the wing contest, man. I left my wings. I picked up 12 wings at KFC. I left them when I left Saturday night, so they didn't call my name.
So you get some wings now?
We didn't have to go order and left them. I said, that's my turn-in box. They said, fine. No, in all seriousness, Jim, you know, we're kind of newbies out there. I guess our third year competing, and I've never had anything happen. We've always, you know, we've always enjoyed the case. And that's the one reason I went down there. I wanted to compete in a dual competition, you know, just to get some experience. And of course, get into all the logistics about us getting down there at dark 30, 11:30 Friday night and all the stuff we ran into. But, yeah, they screwed up our chicken box with Brad K. They had 47 on mine, 47 on his. I think our number was actually 47, but they got our boxes mixed up. And apparently they went, to Brad or went to somebody and had them identified by, I think they went to Brad and said, can you tell us which one would be yours by how the meat is, how it's presented. So I guess that's how they figured it out. So. And what's so weird about it is I think we came in 11th and he came in 12th or something. I don't know. So who knows? So I know you've already talked about it. They lost your box and somehow found it, 20 minutes later or something. So yeah, I was kind of surprised. And like I said, we're just kind of newbies out there. But it's kind of shocking how poorly all the ones we've been to. And, you know, we've been to about 10 contests this year. And then we've been to, you know, probably 6 or 8 the last couple of years. That was by far the worst run event I've ever been to, quite honestly. It was kind of sad, really, that they had such an outpouring of people from Myrtle Beach. And, you know, we had people coming over to our spot, griping that we run out of food, and they were selling armbands and all. Of course, you know, we're like, hey, we don't have, all I did is cook where they asked me to cook. And what do you do? So I know I'm preaching to the choir with everybody listening out there, but, yeah, pretty sad event. So.
Now, Randall, if what would happen, like I said, you're a promoter, you're a cooker, and you've heard a lot of people, you know, even not even on the air tonight, that have talked to you about it. I know there's a few Atlanta teams that came through there and everything, and I know you're really good friends with, you know, a lot of those teams here in Georgia. And, you know, from Carolina and North Carolina, too, because you put on one hell of an event. And it's really set a really high standard now for these events. And like I was telling you, a lot of these towns or cities, they, you know, the Chamber of Commerce rolls out the regulations. They know what kind of economic impact this brings in. Now, yours
right.
really brought a lot of teams. And I know at some point it was probably overwhelming because of teams you brought in your very first year. You know,
right.
nothing was really, you know, you didn't have anything to gauge it by. But,
no.
God, I mean, you pulled it off, and I've not really, out of all those teams, I think you have 36 backyard teams, too.
Right.
One negative thing said about your event other than, you know, the business on turf. But you've got 95 plus 36 teams. So not everybody's going to be by turn in, but
right.
I think you said a little bit different this year, which is going to work out really well for both.
Right.
But you know, but your learning curve is there, and you're handling it. You're already letting people know how it's going to be going on. But have you ever had that many, even in your cooking, have you ever had that many so-called screw-ups? I mean, I think you might have heard they lost my pork box.
Yeah, I heard that. You know, it's funny. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years, and we don't do a lot of contests as a team, but, you know, there's occasionally some circuits that flip or some little things, but I've never heard of one event having this many issues, not just in 1 year, but apparently it's year after year, but, you know, power, you know, like Roger was saying with the vaults and everything, that can be a major problem. I mean, you know, you can start damaging things at a point, too. And, you know, the miscommunications and the everything else, and to me, so many of the issues that are coming out now about this past weekend were things that could have been easily rectified with some proper communication or some proper planning beforehand.
Yeah. But there was no, that's the biggest problem. There was no communication organization. And, you know, if, like Roger said, you know, when you don't have enough power and you're pulling your stuff off there, I mean, we've got $50, $100 cords that are burned up. You know,
right.
You almost have to take a hammer and knock it off your damn RV or your trailer, and then you got to replace that plug. You got to go through all that crap before your next cook off. Because
right.
It melts it, you know, to get it back. I mean, you know, now, in your opinion, just not that you're a cooker now, but you're an organizer, do barbecues really ask for that much? I mean, in your mind, I mean,
No, I'll be honest. I had zero problems with barbecue teams at my event. Now, you know, as far as, you know, misperceptions from the general public, you deal with those, and you've got more issues with vendors than you do with barbecue teams. Barbecue teams are really easygoing. I mean, you know, Kennesaw, Pigs and Peaches, I was next to Danny Kugel and Bubba, and we had a couple other guys next to us. We didn't have any water. So we talked to the guy, and he said, well, if you can hook over there. So, I mean, we just worked it out amongst ourselves. We ran our own hoses, and we ran our own splitters, and, you know, we dealt with it. And we were perfectly fine all weekend. You know, we had the same problem. We had an actual cord from one of the generators went bad late on Friday night. So, you know, I had a 50-amp hookup, which my trailer's not really pulling 50-amp. So, you know, we plugged another trailer into my trailer to make it work. And, for the most part, teams are really pretty easy. We pretty much can adapt and roll with the punches, but you got to have something to adapt with. And, you know,
right.
you can't start with nothing and make something out of it.
Right. I mean, yeah, you know, and that was a good problem. The crews that were handled, they were charging $50. So they didn't have any different hookup than what we had, and then the campers wouldn't even run off. They had to run a generator. So not only did they have $50, they had to run $50 more worth of fuel in there just to get their stuff going. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just real surprising, you know, that they've been doing this long. And, you know, they had a lot of good teams, a lot of teams in place in there, you know, coming from Tennessee, like Walt, North Carolina, you know, Georgia, you know, from the other side of Georgia with Danny and Bubba down there and everything. I mean, you would think that with these upper echelon teams coming in there, they're like, all right, we really got to roll out the red carpet. And at your event, most of these other events, they get the whole community involved.
Right.
It seemed like the Shriners were involved. They were more worried about selling their sauce and their T-shirts, and the Shriners with all their little frilly hats and stuff. Like I said, I don't know the rankings and their, you know, their officers or whatever.
Right.
Tell you one thing, saying you're this, they're this, you don't know what that is. And
right.
You know, nobody would say, okay, you can't do this, you can do this. You'd get four different answers from four different people who said they were in charge. You know?
Wow.
It was just, it was amazing. So, you know, in reality, nothing was all paper. It was all hearsay. Well, I told you, you know, a week ago you couldn't do this. Well, you told me yesterday I could. But I told you a week ago you couldn't. Well, who the hell are you? You know?
he did this thing,
and he told me I could do this. Well, you're not going to do it now. And we're like,
you know, one of the big problems with events is you got, you know, if you start drawing in, you know, guys that have won 10, 15, 20, really a lot of grand championships, is you got one shot to impress them. If you don't impress them in that first shot, they're not coming back. There's too many choices. There's too many options. And you know, a lot of these guys will drive, you know, they'll drive to Maryland because there's an option. They'll drive to Oklahoma because there's another contest. They won't you know, they're not stuck driving because it's an hour from their house. I mean, you know, you can stick with some of the smaller local teams, but you're not gonna draw the who's who. And that's the problem I see with them is they've lost their shot at getting some of these teams.
Well, that's the thing, you know, when your cookers come in there, I mean, you kind of take care of them. You know, you don't have to. But, you know, just show a little appreciation. Like, go get some damn sausage biscuits for breakfast, also coffee, you know, drinks or something. You know, you've got food all night long. And
right.
you've gone out, you've got the community involved. They're on board. They're wanting to help sponsor this event by doing certain things for you, you know, which all the teams are very appreciative of that. And some
right.
of these events, we go, the breakfast is so good or something because they really take care of the cookers. And you're
right.
like, there's so many choices out there. And you say, okay, this is what I could do. me living on this side of Georgia, I could do, you know, one in North Carolina, one in South Carolina, one in Georgia. Well, then you start looking at, well, let's look at the prize money. They're all the same. Well, these people care less if I come. These people, they're okay, but this okay right here, I mean, they roll out the red carpet. Well, hell, I'm going to go where I'm going to feel appreciated at.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Spending $1,000, $1,500 to do one of these things, we don't really look for anything, but like I said, it's really nice to have some accommodation that people are really glad to see you. And as you know, even in Cummins, Georgia, when these teams come, it is a huge economic impact for that
whole area.
It is
monstrous, and really, in Myrtle Beach, the Chamber of Commerce should really be ashamed of themselves because of the impact that having these quality teams that draw crowds at an event is monstrous. And the difference between I don't want to speak down, but let's use a minor league type sanctioning body in comparison to a major league type sanctioning body is you're going to draw different teams, and they're not going to bring, you know, they're not going to bring the you know, I was on Pit Masters and you know, I've got 80 grand championships and that kind of you know, stature to your event. And you know, Jim, you know what kind of money you spend when you go to a town. I mean, really, for the first time after doing my event last year, I thought, you know what, I'm going to keep track of it this year. And I have kept track of every dime I spend in every town. It's astronomical how much we spend when you really start counting nickels.
Yeah, it all adds up. I mean, we always say nickel and dime to death. Well, you know, you go to a grocery store, you get some drinks. You go get your parsley,
well, exactly.
Lettuce. You know, all that little stuff adds up. You know, well, shit, I don't have this. I need this spice, whatever. I'll run to the store and get this. Well, while you're running back and forth to the store, you're stopping at the gas station. You know,
that's
you
exactly
get,
wrong.
You know, you buy coffee, all this little stuff, you know, because a lot of times we get to the thing, we'll go to the grocery store and get some snacks and stuff like that. Number one,
right.
We don't have to pack it up. Number two is we're there. We're going to, you know, if the community is going to come out and support this barbecue contest, we're going to support the community. You know,
right.
For me, so, you know, but our dollars are going to stay in that town. And,
right.
You know, like I said, I think Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce has really dropped the ball big time on this. And especially with the long weekend, the hotel rooms they can get from teams coming in from way far away, they don't want to bring the big rig. So we'll pull a little trailer or a jambo and we'll take a truck. We'll go stay in a hotel room, you know, a mile down the road.
Right.
So that's what, you know, I've got a trophy to stay. We said, we're going to take a long weekend out of it. And we did. You know, we spent, you know, almost $600 on a room for three nights.
Right.
And you know, then we went out to eat dinner with Roger Mark, and we, you know, we ate dinner, you know, Thursday night and Friday night over there at the little the village they have, which was really nice, high-end village, and we had a good time. Like I
right.
said, the downfall we had was just the contest and the organizers and the reps. Every damn one of them dropped the ball. And I just don't get it. I mean, even you, I mean, you could say, well, I've got these teams in here. You know, they're going to come back because of their money. That ain't true. You really took care of the team. You did it in your first year.
It's not always about the money. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not some about the money because, I mean, if you put enough up, it does help. But, you know, there's some major promoters out there that don't get the turnout anymore, and they have some really high-dollar contests. But, you know, they dropped the ball in some areas in their first year or two in some events, and teams won't ever go back to their events.
This will
and,
be one
you
of
know,
them.
It, yeah, and it, like I said, it's unfortunate because, you know, Myrtle Beach is a – I mean, you know, everybody sees that. You know, it's, you know, you see the beach, you know, in the title of the event, and it's like, oh, I go there. You know, and it's one of those – heck, it was on my list. I mean, if we hadn't been busy this weekend, we were planning on going. I'm darn glad we didn't.
Well, I'm glad we didn't. I mean, really, truthfully, it was like a dog and pony show. I mean, it really was. And like you said, you think doing it this long, they'd want kinks out. But I've only been there 2 years. Roger's been there, you know, 15, 18 years. I don't know how long he's been doing that. But just kidding, Roger. But, you know, they haven't changed anything. It's the same things that were wrong last year, were wrong this year, and then some. And, you know, like I said, not only was it the organizer, it was the rep. The rep, I don't know if they were overwhelmed or whatever, but the biggest part, like Roger said, the Chamber of Commerce, the Myrtle Beach, need to step in there, get some quality volunteer help, You know, these hotels are reaping the benefits from it. The gas stations, the little street, and I think the Wiggly did supply the pork and stuff for the event, you know, for the SPM, and they
right.
stepped in that part, which they were right across the street. So, I mean, I saw several teams in there. We were in there 3 or 4 times. I mean, Piggly Wiggly came out like gangbusters. The restaurants, they were within walking distance of that place. They came out like gangbusters. We saw several teams over eating in various restaurants and stuff. So the economic
right.
impact, like in that little area right there, well, that little community probably ought to step up and say, hey, you know, even the bars or whatever that people went in the restaurants, they said, you know, we'll give you a volunteer or two for that event.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You didn't do anything. I mean, that's the bare minimum right there, because you look at the money we're going to be spending in there. I mean, we had what? How many did we have? Right? We had 16 go out to eat dinner at a Italian restaurant. They made about, you know, $900 to $1,000 off of that night between drinks and everything else. So that was
right.
just one with this little group of, you know, I think there's 5 teams in there. So, you know, it was a big economic impact, and, you know, Myrtle Beach is a really good, great destination to go to if they just got their, you know, act together a little bit. And, you know, I hate it for them. I mean, the area, the venue is really nice, but it's just, you know, it's lacking the water and it's lacking the power. And you can't expect teams to work.
I certainly hope that they can get their act together. I just don't know if they'll get any teams to give them a chance to see if they get their act together.
Right.
Well, I think they'll get teams. I don't know that they'll get KCBS teams. They'll get teams that traditionally do the SCBA cooks, the SBN cooks, and not certainly not knocking them when I say junior varsity. Maybe that's where they need to be going. But as it was explained to me the first year they went to KCBS, is that they wanted national exposure. They did not necessarily
right.
want to promote South Carolina barbecue as the barbecue of the nation. But since it is a vacation and tourist destination for the entire United States, they really wanted to go on more of a national level. So that
right.
makes it the near decision there. And I think that perhaps they've been misguided in their efforts. Let's face it, these folks at the chamber really don't understand barbecue. And they're going to jump
right.
in there. First sanctioning body that's going to say, hey, we do this and hey, we do that. And I really think there's some other worthy causes. If they have to have a cause that is going to help them do this competition, there's other worthy causes out there that would jump at the chance to make some cash.
Oh,
and,
sure. There's endless causes out there.
And so I would love to see the chamber partner with someone else that is more appropriate for what we're used to seeing. You know, make all the money you can, whoever it may be, but
sure.
They just need better organization. And Randall, if I remember correctly, you're trying to raise some funds for certain events as well, and so you can,
right.
you're certainly more qualified than I am in trying to comment on that, but there's some worthy causes out there. I want somebody to step up and help the chamber make this one of the better events in the southeastern United States.
Right. Well, it certainly isn't a city that has the potential to be a huge draw.
Yeah.
Oh, they do that. Me and Jim, I know we dropped a few coins down there this weekend, but not in bar tabs. we had a good time, and I mean, that's the thing I hate about making the decision to never go back. I've always had a good time down there, but the more I'm sitting here looking on my computer at this website on Smoking on the Bay up in Maryland, and it's only an hour longer drive for me than Myrtle Beach, I'm psyched
right.
about this. I can guarantee the Pickin' Porkers will be there next year. And
yeah.
They have a good team list up there, too, so it's not you can't accuse anybody of bottom fishing. So
yeah.
I've got to get in on this one.
Well, we got another. Hey, Randall, Roger, hang on, man. We got another caller that wants to talk in. 864-992. You on the air? 864?
Yes, Jim, this is your buddy from Greenwood, South Carolina.
Oh, this is Greg Culberson. This is the one of the table captains of judging. So quickly, we've got about 5 minutes, Greg. I've got Randall Knight, the organizer for the Cummins one, the National Barbecue Cup, the premium contest in the Southeast. I'm going to put him a plug in there. He did a great job last year, his first year. Over 100 teams there, easy. I mean, overall, I mean, it was just unbelievable. But, guys, this is Greg Culberson. He's a judge for KCBS. And I want to let him plug a little bit on his side, on the judging side. So, Greg, if you got about 2 or 3 minutes to talk to your experience down there, we sure would love to hear it from that side.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, Peggy and I were there, and it was a really bad experience as a judge. We were in a tent with no air conditioning, no fans, anything blowing, and of course the thing was poorly organized, in my opinion, by the guy that did it, and it was just an experience that I'd like to forget, and I don't think I'll ever go back. And I think Peggy talked all the way home, said she wouldn't go back either. So that's basically our take on it.
Well, y'all were sweating profusely when you came right out of the judging and stuff. And, I mean, like I said, the organization was just so off-key. I mean, there was none. I mean,
no. You know, we when we got there, the guy, when we were in Greer, he begged us to come down there and to judge because he didn't have enough. And then we get there, and he had turned down a couple of other people to judge. And then we got there and didn't have enough, and I had to do double duty, and of course all the conditions were horrible too. So,
wasn't totally blocked off either, because when we turned out judges, we could see the judges back there. You know,
absolutely, you could see the cooks turning in and all, because I watched everybody come up and turn in the plate. Plus, it sat there, the food sat there and got in the hot sun, waiting on it to get distributed to the table captains to give to the judges, and of course we all know what that means.
Well, there were several teams complained about how long of a line there was to put the box down. They thought, just put down the end. I'm not putting mine down until you get some of these out of the way. And there'd be no line.
That's exactly right.
Sitting there, and they weren't getting back to the judges quick enough. You know, we put too much time and money in this stuff. But to sit there and get cold or dried out sitting in that sun. And, I mean, it was like 96, 97 degrees down there. So
it was at least that. And I know the judges, the cooks laid their stuff down. And, you know, you and I talked afterwards talking about it being getting hardening up and stuff. And so it affected everybody.
It did. I mean, it was just stressful. It was unjust stress on the teams, the judges, everybody. I mean, it was so poorly run. Well, we've got about 2 minutes. I'm going to give a shout-out to Roger from Pickin' Porkers for tuning in, giving us his input on this. I'm going to give a call-out
okay.
to Walt Mark from Rocky Top Barbecue. Appreciate you calling in, buddy. And hopefully
right, buddy.
We'll see you coming up.
We'll see you hopefully. I sent an email off. Hopefully we'll see you in Rome.
Okay.
Don't know yet, but we'll see.
All right, appreciate
Peggy
it.
Peggy says she loves you.
All right, tell Peggy I love her, too. She's sweet as a button.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Greg Culberson.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks,
uh-huh.
Greg.
Bye-bye.
As always, my good friend Chris Fulmer from Ultimate Tailgaters for calling in. Appreciate you calling in, Chris, giving us some input on your extravaganza down there. And Corey. Calling in. Corey, it's good to hear from you again, man. I haven't seen you in a little while. And also, Brad Kay from Lang Smokers, he called in and gave us some input. And also, I want to put a big shout-out to Randall Bowman for calling in, organizer slash cook slash entrepreneur slash caterer slash world-class smoker builders. He's got some awesome smokers coming out online. Need to check him out. And, Randall, if you want to put a plug in for your event coming up, go ahead.
Our event is the National Barbecue Cup. It's November 16th and 17th in Cumming, Georgia. We've got 144 pro spots this year. We've got just over $24,000 in prize money. We would love to have any and all of you that want to come.
The picket markers are there, Randall. I have no fear.
All righty. Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
We're trying to go to Cancun that week, and we're probably even going to push our trip back because of your event. And my wife really, really thanks for that, Randall. So you'll hear from her Friday night. But anyway, we wouldn't miss it. And as always, a good friend of mine, we would like to end the show with all these guys on here, and we're going to play a little I'm a Cowboy. So we'll talk to y'all next week. And, Randall, if you want to call in, we'll get you on here and get you some good airtime on here for your event closer to it and get some more really good. And I appreciate everybody calling in, and y'all have a good night.
See everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.